going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. What a wild weekend it was. Phillies get 2 out of 3, which I didn't see coming. And, of course, the NFL draft. We got a whole bunch of rookies to talk about. And maybe one name that didn't end up here, but he almost did. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, make sure that, first of all, you turn your mic on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just do your homework when you're trying to find out some of these stories. Vet some of these stories that are
vet.
Coming out.
You gotta vet
these stories.
You gotta vet.
Do your homework.
Here's what we did. We did our homework. We watched the draft this weekend. Jahad Campbell and Andrew Makuba, the safety, and Ty Robinson and Mac McWilliams and Drew Kendall and Kyle McCord. Eagles landed a bunch of players who more on the third day of the draft than on the first couple days of draft. But, Hugh, overall, what'd you think? So we knew Jahad Campbell was Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I like the safety they took out of Texas on Friday night, Makuba. And then that Ty Robinson defensive tackle out of Nebraska seems like a really interesting player with a lot of skills, maybe get to the quarterback and stop the run. What'd you think overall of what Howie did this weekend?
I think it was a good draft. I think they feel the needs that they had to feel. You know, a lot of people are happy that most of the draft picks were defensive players, which is good. We needed to replenish the ranks. And I think the Eagles did a good job. Give them a grade B.
A B?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad grade.
No, it's not a bad grade at all.
I thought the draft lacked a little sizzle from the Eagles' perspective, but that's okay.
It was a lot going on.
Well, there was. Yeah. I liked the players. Like I thought Makuba could be a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson replacement as early as this season, and I think Robinson's going to be a big help on the defense line. So overall, they got some good guys. The developmental quarterback we'll get to later with some ties, obviously, to the area back at St. Joe's Prep. Or we'll get to the whole draft and everything the Eagles did over the course of the show. And we'll do some Phillies takeaways. But, Hugh, sometimes the story is not what happens, it's what doesn't happen. And the story this weekend around the NFL, and not just for our purposes, was the fall of Shedeur Sanders. I mean, that was the story of the weekend.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders, who many people thought would be a first-round pick. I mean,
was projected to be a first, or at least a second-round pick, second-day pick.
I think it was strongly thought he was a first-round pick until the last couple days, and then people said, you know what? He actually might fall out of the first round. And that became the we weren't surprised Thursday night when he fell out of the first round. But when you got to Friday night and he didn't go in the second round, and then he didn't go in the third round, and then the draft starts again on Saturday and he's not going, I got to tell you, I couldn't have been the only one wondering what's going on, why did he fall, and then where he's going to land. All right, so there's a lot to react to here. 215-592-9494. Hugh, I want your take on the Shedeur Sanders thing. And after you give me your take on what happened there, I have a question for you. So first, tell me, what do you think about this? Because it's one of the more famous falls in terms of, really, I've ever seen in the NFL draft, where lots of people think he's a high pick, and obviously most in the NFL did not agree with that.
There's a lot to unpack with this, Joe, mm-hmm. and that's the unfortunate thing about it. I've been getting phone calls about this all weekend, and I've been trying to explain to people to the best of my ability. It was just not one thing. Because we've all seen the narratives on the internet and everything like that. And I'll say this about that. Being a guy that has been drafted and knowing how this process works, you try to shed light on this for people can understand. But the unfortunate thing about this situation, Joe, is that whatever camp you're in, whether it's racial, whether it's the football camp, whatever, you're in that camp and you're not listening to anything else, anything that anybody else is saying. Now, this is a fact. There has never been a player that as touted, as talented as Shedeur has, whatever he had, a first grade talent or a second grade talent, that dropped this far in the draft. This is the first time that's ever happened. Especially when you talk about where he was slated to go and everything, to fall to the fifth round, that's never happened, especially in a position where there's a lot of people that are trying to find a quarterback. That's a fact. Mm. I mean, you can go look it up. For somebody that had the type of grade that he had, and, you know, for you to go through the whole draft and people say that he's the best talent available, to fall that far, that has never happened.
It's one of the most famous falls in draft history.
So that's a fact. Now, if you want to be in the camp of his father had something to do with that, there's probably a little bit to that because they did come off as a little arrogant. He didn't go to training camp. He didn't work out at the combine. There's a whole bunch of things that he did not do.
Yep.
But I'll say that to this, and this is the comparison that I was trying to make last night. And if there's any other quarterback that you could compare him to, please throw that out there. But it just so happened that the quarterback that I was trying to compare him to was Johnny Manziel. Wasn't comparing the numbers that Johnny Manziel put up in college. I was talking more about his cockiness and his brashness. If you want to go to another quarterback, you have Baker Mayfield, who the week before the draft got in trouble with the cops. It didn't stop him from getting drafted.
Yeah, as a player, the cockiness, there's a Baker thing to him.
Yeah. It's a little bit of that. Yeah. So, you know, people automatically assume that you're trying to make it a race thing. No, I was comparing him to another quarterback that got drafted that was considered cocky. Now, if there was a black one that you could compare it to, point him out, and I ought to use that as an example, but that was the one that came to mind. So there's that side of it. And then people talk about his record at Colorado and his completion rate and all that. This is one of those things, people, where you ever heard a thing called the perfect storm?
Mm-hmm.
This was that. This was the arrogance played a part in this. The cockiness played a part in it. I think there was some racial undertones, a little bit of that. But more so, it was because a lot of people felt he needed to be humble, you know. So that there's that part of it. Now, what Shedeur has to do, and I tweeted out last week, I said, if I'm Shedeur, I would probably go to Canada. That was probably a little bit over the top. I was a little bit over the top with that tweet. But what he needs to do now is prove that he belongs, which is going to be tough.
Sure.
Because the reality of this situation is this. They about five or six deep in that quarterback room. It's a lot of damn quarterbacks.
Well, it is.
It's not a lot of reps to get.
Well, they drafted another quarterback in the third round, Cleveland, before they drafted Shedeur Sanders. All right, so I agree with you that there's probably five or six different things that played a role into this. I mean, some teams probably just didn't think he was great. They thought he was pretty good, but not great. Who knows what the draft process did to him? I don't think he handled it great in terms
of. He didn't, from what I've heard, because I've talked to friends of mine. And like I said, there's so much stuff to unpack with this. It's just not one thing.
Right.
It's a combination of a bunch of different things.
You throw Dion in there, and whether or not it's actually a distraction, I don't know. But maybe some perceived it was. Look, I don't know what happened and why he fell. Also, there could have been a discrepancy between experts, what they thought, and what the truth was. Sometimes that happens in the draft. Now, this was a huge disparity. This was wide. Yeah, if people thought he was a first-round pick and he was fifth, someone was obviously way off, and that was the people we thought knew what they were talking about before the draft. There's this reality, though. As any player falls, Hugh, any player in the draft, teams start looking at him, and maybe they say, well, we didn't love him in the first round. We didn't love him in the second, but he's there, right? And and even if we didn't love him, it's the fourth or fifth round, and one of those teams might as just well have been the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen to Ian Rappaport on the Eagles' potential interest as the draft unfolded and the Browns jumped over the Eagles to take Shedeur Sanders.
Rich, there have been rumors all day that the Philadelphia Eagles were interested in Shedeur Sanders, would be a perfect landing spot for him, a veteran quarterback room, a team with a really good backbone, really good culture. Well, the Cleveland Browns just traded over the Eagles. I wonder, obviously they have Dylan Gabriel yesterday. Did the Browns do this thinking the Eagles would take Shedeur and just maybe? We'll see.
Well, I can answer that. At least I'll give my opinion. Yes, that's why the Browns traded over the Eagles. The teams don't just trade up in the fifth round for the hell of it. They do it because they don't want to lose the player, and they think the team right behind them might take the player. So obviously, the Browns may have thought the Eagles were going to take him. Hugh, as he fell down the board, I know we had a little discussion Friday, second round, but as we got to the fourth, fifth round, did you want the Eagles to take him?
I did, and I heard the same thing. I heard that the Eagles were talking about taking him. I think it would have been a good fit. It would have been a good culture for him to be in because I think when I talk about some of the things that Shador brought to the table, here's the problem with Shador and his pops. And this is one of the angles that maybe you might have taken, the people out there listening to you people. Maybe you might have taken it. But his dad is a huge presence in the locker room. His dad would have been a huge presence looming over whatever team was drafted him. The Cleveland Browns, when they drafted him, they didn't look too excited. I know
Andrew Berry looked like he's being held hostage.
And they told you can't really read anybody's face. You know, don't pay too much attention. Don't read too much into that. But let's be honest. Shador Sanders goes in the second round. There's a chance that he might start. Or he's going to a team where he's going to be the biggest voice. Say if he went to the Saints and his pops is back there. Kellen Moore just got the job.
Sure.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Deion's over there. You know he has head coach aspirations.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody.
But you think the Eagles could have handled it?
Well, the Eagles could have handled that because, first of all, you're not taking Jalen Hurts' job. Nick Sirianni just won the Super Bowl. So you're not in a position to be intimidated by whatever Deion says or his son.
Right.
So that's that. I think that a lot of these teams that when they passed on Shador, a lot of them had that thought process. Like, well, hell, especially when you talk about the Giants. Now, there's reports that Shador didn't test well or whatever. He wasn't prepared. Mm. But when you look at the Giants, if they'd have taken him in the second round, you got Shador sitting there, you know, as a quarterback, and his pops that coached him is there. They're trying to save that. They don't want that heat.
Well, I think that when you ran through all the reasons why he probably fell, one of them.
That's probably one of the reasons why they don't want that heat.
215-592-9494. So here's where I was at on it. I mean, I thought about it. I mean, and so I'll be honest. I have two minds here. One, like, it would be wild if he was here. Just
for the storyline.
Talk show perspective, storyline.
It would have been fun.
He's a huge name. It would have been fun, right? It would have brought attention, a different kind of attention here. But just from a football perspective, I didn't want him. And it wasn't because I was like, I don't want him here. I don't want him on this football team. I don't have anything against him. He's just a football player. But you know this from last week. I didn't see it with him. Like, I wasn't surprised he was falling the first round. I don't think he's that great of a prospect. So I wasn't like, oh, my God, this guy's falling. Wow, I need to get him. It wasn't like, because I like Jalen Milroe. That's the kind of guy I wanted him as the backup quarterback. But all right, they didn't get him. But I wasn't banging the table. I didn't want them to do it. And for me, it was this. And we kept hearing the same stories about testing and interviews. And I feel like the Eagles could have brought him into their culture.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't view Shador Sanders as a player the Eagles would draft. Like, does he fit their culture? Not that they couldn't have handled him. Because the Eagles have had you go to Devontae Smith, right? You go to Jalen Hurts. They have had a run of drafting players, Nolan Smith. It feels like they draft guys that are football first, love the game, and are team guys. And those are questions that keep coming up about Shador Sanders. Like, can he play a little bit? I think he could play a little bit. I don't think he's a bad prospect. But there seems to be this thing out there that maybe he's not football first, right? That he doesn't love the game as much, or that he's not the best teammate or the best team guy. And I don't know if those are true. I just know the Eagles have done all this to build this culture the last 5 years. And I didn't feel he fit as much as the other guys.
You know what? I look at it like this. Like, I've never met Shador. I know his pops. Obviously, we played against him. I look at it like this. I think he loves the game. I think that, you know, this weekend was humbling for him. Very, very humbling. In a way where he probably looks at a lot of things differently and probably wish he would handle a lot of it differently.
I'm sure he did. I mean, in terms of money, he lost a lot of money this weekend.
Yeah, he did. He did. I think that he could be a good player. I think this was somewhat of a wake-up call for him. I don't expect him not to be who he is, though, at his core. But he might tone it down a little bit. Like, and I tried to tell somebody this weekend. And they were like, he was arrogant. He thought he was better than everybody else. And I told him, I said, I hate to break this to you, but there's not a professional athlete on this planet that does not think that they're better than somebody else. It's just the way that you carry yourself. And for him, his demeanor and his bravado – it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Obviously, because talent-wise, he probably should have went higher than the fifth round.
And that's where you have to ask yourself, if because here's what I do know. I remember when I went to the combine, there's a lot of cats that when teams tried to talk to them, they had that same attitude because they had the game to back it up.
Yep.
And that's what you have to ask yourself. Like, you could say that Shadur wasn't this, that, or third, but there's never been a player who has been as highly touted as him fall to the fifth round.
That's why
like
it became the story of the draft. Yeah. Because it was out of the ordinary. And now part of it was he was a famous quarterback, right?
And his famous father, right, and he went to Colorado.
Sometimes players fall, but if it's a guard, it's not a story, right? Yeah. But this was the most high profile fall in a very long time. All right, can we hear this before we go any further? So Rap Sheet said the Browns may have traded over the Eagles to get Shadur Sanders. I believe him. I think that's why the Browns did it. And then Howie Roseman was asked about this, and I found his answer, well, just listen to this, because I think there's a different way he could have answered it, but it kind of left the door open that, yeah, they might have taken Shadur Sanders.
Did you kind of think, like, when Cleveland traded ahead of you, that you guys were looking at Shadur Sanders? And if you can talk in general, like, are you kind of surprised he was still there in the fifth round?
Yeah, I feel like the best thing for us to do is focus on the players that we brought in here. You know, it'd be a disservice to the players that we drafted to talk about other teams' players. We got enough on our own plate to worry about with the Philadelphia Eagles, so we'll stick to that.
Very odd answer. Hugh, you know how we could answer that question?
Just say
Mac McWilliams was the pickup we were going to make. I mean, all he had to say was we loved Mac. Mac was the kid we were going to pick with our next pick, and the Browns made a good pick themselves. But, like, he left that door open. He didn't say no, and he also didn't say we were taking Mac McWilliams regardless if he was on the board.
Well, I think that's the beauty of Howie, because he leaves it open so that we can interpret it the way that we want to interpret it.
I'm interpreting that they were going to take Shadur Sanders. All right, 215-592-9494. Did you want the Eagles to draft Shadur as he was falling? Hugh did. I didn't. Kyle, where do you come down as Saturday? Well, it went from Friday to Saturday. It became the biggest story of the draft. Did you want Shadur?
I mean, I have to admit, I at least thought about it as it was happening.
Well, I think everyone did.
The whole situation was crazy for him to have been falling that far. After, I mean, people were speculating that he was going to be like a top five pick. Yeah. He could go to the Giants, he can go in the first round, and then you were like, okay, well, if he's not going in the first, he's got to be going in the second, right? But to fall that far, you're like, I think I would have been, I think I'm glad at the end of the day that they didn't take him. I was with you. Jalen Milroe was kind of the apple of my eye. I did want him to take a quarterback, but if I'm taking a quarterback, I want a guy that I think has something that he does really well. Like Milroe was a great runner. Like he's coming into this and you're thinking that he could be faster than Lamar Jackson. Like that's something that I'm like, man, if they could just hone that skill set. And I mean, you could turn him into a pretty damn solid quarterback. I just think, I mean, among a few reasons, like Shadur Sanders probably adds too many big personalities in his locker room that has a lot of big personalities to begin with. It just feels like it could have been a volatile situation, especially with what was going on with his dad and everything in the pre-draft process. But ultimately, my biggest reason that I didn't want him is I just don't think he's that good. Like, I don't see anything that Shadur Sanders does really, really well. And I never really thought that, I didn't think of him as a guy that should be picked in the top five, even though that was kind of what the hype was surrounding him with the media. But like, I just don't think he's that good of a player. So at the end of the day, like, it really just comes down to that. Like, I think I would have been okay with the Jalen Milroe pick, but at the end of the day, glad that they didn't do the Shadur thing.
Yeah, so I wasn't banging the table either Saturday, but I would not have been surprised if they did it. It would have been a very Eagles thing to do. The Eagles value the quarterback position more than any of
And he has a chance to grow. And I would even venture to say with the quarterback room, probably had a chance to stick. Probably would have had a chance to stick in Cleveland. See, this is the reality, and this is the thing that most people that got drafted know. Everybody's like, oh, he's happy he got drafted in the fifth round. Dog, him and Shiloh, they probably won't make the squad. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Probably won't make the squad. That's not a lot of reps. When you think about quarterbacks, think about it like this. If we had, in a 20-rep day, the starting quarterback getting about 12 of those reps, and then getting most of them, then you got to divvy the rest of them out.
Right now, and they have Flacco, Pickett. They drafted a quarterback in the third round and Shadur.
And not only that, when you talk about that quarterback room, that 12 reps, because they probably want to look at Flacco. They already know what Flacco can do. They're probably going to look at two gloves.
Yep.
They're going to split those reps.
And the other quarterback they drafted.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, man.
215-592-9494. Your reaction to the Eagles draft. I like the safety out of Texas a lot, and that defensive tackle looks like he could be a player. But the story became Shadur Sanders, and the Eagles, at least in the eyes of the Browns, I think, were going to take him there in that fifth round. They jumped over them. Did you want the Eagles to take Shedeur Sanders as he was falling on Friday and especially on Saturday? Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown starts us off on a post-draft Monday. Good morning, Chris.
Chris.
Happy put your coat on Mothballs Day, man.
What's up, Chris?
Winter's gone, Hugh. You can put that coat away. You're good.
I'm good.
I think we're over. It's over now. Yeah, it's May later this week. It's going to be in the 80s. We're good now.
Perfect. We're there. That's what I'm looking at, man. We're beyond that. So I do want to stop because that was the second biggest story. The biggest story that I heard come out over the weekend. Hugh, so I want to take a minute. I want to tell you I appreciate everything you've done for Philadelphia since you returned. You know I'm going to miss you tremendously, you know, but I fully understand, like Billy Joel's song said, you know, that New York state of mind is where your heart's at.
Oh, I can't wait going to New York. Man, listen, I haven't, I'm not going to lie, full disclosure, I called Aaron Glenn.
Of course you did. We know. You don't have to tell us.
I asked him, you know, when I can come visit. He said, whenever you get ready. So, yeah, I called. I mean, but this was, in my defense, this was
unbelievable.
No, this was before I found out
no
that he was drafted.
No one believes you.
I know. And I told the story, and nobody still believes
Once a Jet, always a Jet, this guy over here, Chris. It's unbelievable.
I've heard reports that that Hugh actually reached out to Spike and start trying to see if he could make some phone calls for him.
To go to New York? I'm not definitely not going to New York.
You want to get close to Dante? We get it. We get it. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, listen, Hugh, it's only a train ride or a short drive away. It's not that bad. You can make it work. It's close enough. It's not West Coast.
No, it's definitely not West Coast.
Can we get back to the topic here, which is, can you imagine what the city of Philadelphia would be like with Jalen and Shedeur as the backup? I mean, the storylines. I mean, literally from an entertainment value, and me being a little bit emotional as a fan, that ride would have been a hell of a ride. And then you got Dion behind the scenes being Dion and doing what Dion says and saying things. And then imagine this, sprinkle in a little Nick Sirianni on the top of it. Like, the show would have been incredible. Like, I know poor Kyle. Kyle was hoping he would get drafted because he's not being truthful. He wanted him to get drafted because he knew he'd have enough material for a lifetime of programming. I mean, the story would have been just unbelievable.
But did you want him as a football player?
I would take him. I would take him. I think it's – I'm not going to get into it, guys, because I know a lot of people are going to have a lot to say on this. Hugh, I 100% agree with you. It's all of everything that's about to be said today sprinkled in a culmination of togetherness. Personally, I think it was a lot of total 100% nonsense going on. There's no reason a talent of him – that is predicted to be a top five falls to the fifth round. That's just, there's a lot of shenanigans going on there, and it's not just one thing. I think it's, again, a culmination of it all. So, but let's focus on what we did get. Kyle should be the happiest guy because he got CJ's little brother in Andrew Mukuba, you know, and we'll come up with names for this guy. But he's a young version of him. But, guys, the steal of the draft was administered by the legend, Howie Roseman. Defense man is you because Philadelphia is bringing J-I-H-A-A-D. Yeah, Philly!
You know, the only reason
Chris set it up for us,
but then he spelled it right because I was looking at
you're making sure?
List. Yeah. Well, I had the list of the names like right there.
You got to have the two A's in there. You got to make sure you have that. 215.
Good job, Chris.
592-949. It was a defense-heavy draft for the Eagles.
They get
Jahad Campbell. They get Mukuba. And they get themselves Ty Robinson with their first three picks. All right, your reaction to the draft, what the Eagles did, and Shedeur Sanders. As he fell in the draft, did you want the Eagles to take him? Hugh did. I wasn't there. Where were you? 215-592-9494. Did you want Shedeur Sanders as he was slipping the draft? Your thoughts on that? We'll get to some of the stories out there that are coming out now about the Shedeur Sanders situation, why he slipped, at least according to one person with one team. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.